You know, Brother Charlie Smith, I've known him for quite a few years. Never actually got to see his face until just a little while back, but when I moved up here, we've known him for a long time, and he's a real precious brother, and he's got an awesome testimony about what the Lord did with him and bringing him to the Lord, and it's just awesome. You there, Charlie?
Yes, David, I'm here.
Praise God. Well, just, you know, just flow with the Lord, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Glad to be with you tonight, you and Brother Frank, and all the listeners. I'd like to share with the listening audience my salvation testimony, how I came to the Lord, and how He drawed and brought me to His side. I was raised in this area, you know, a little south from here, down around Cleveland. And I came to the Lord in September the 15th, 1976. And I'd just like to share some highlights with the listeners tonight, if I can. I was a reckless guy. I was hiding behind a mask, trying to be a macho guy to impress people. I guess that was an idol in my life. And stubbornness and sometimes anger. And I was just a mess, like most of us are, you know, when we come to the Lord. And he has to clean us up. And I thank Him for cleaning me up. And I came through some close calls in my life right before I came to the Lord. I had two serious car wrecks and nearly lost my life in both of them. And that didn't slow me down. And I lost my job, and that didn't slow me down. And the closer I got to where the Lord was really about to, you know, get a hold of me good, why, I had friends that run around with me, you know, and they liked to hang around me because they thought I was somebody, which I wasn't. So as time went by, well, even my friends started getting slim, you know. And I never could figure it out, you know. So I just turned them loose and let them go, you know. And rebellion, you know, I get in some fixes and I just totally rebel. And I was just a mess, you know. So I was looking for a job, and I guess it was about 1974. Lost my job, wrecked my car, in debt, no way to pay my bills. My friends was slowly leaving me. So I got a job in Cleveland at a stove factory. And I went in there and they interviewed me and they put me right to work. They told me to come back the first thing the next morning. And so I went back and he told me he's going to put me right to work. So I went down, and they introduced me to my boss and the kind of work they were doing and all of that. And so they put me right to work. And I needed it. I needed a job because I was between a rock and a hard place. So I started work there, and the Lord was blessing me on my job. I enjoyed my work, and as time went on, you know, you make friends with all your new workers. So the boss, he sort of moved me around to different jobs, you know, and I was hoping to get to stay on one particular machine, you know. But he wanted to move me around, you know, get me used to different jobs and all of that. So I thought, well, after I get used to him for a while, you know, maybe I'll settle down a little bit. And so I didn't think much of that either, you know, It didn't matter. It didn't matter to me what he did. You know, I tried to keep a stiff upper lip. I wanted to look good, you know. And so there was a brother that worked there. He was Ralph McClanahan, and he was a 60-year-old, and he was a real nice guy. So the boss came by one evening, and he took me off my job. And he said, I'm going to put you somewhere else. And so he took me up there where the brother was working. And so he introduced himself to me, and he was really nice. And I thought, well, this might work out real good for me, you know. And so he went to talking to me, you know, and telling me about himself. And he went to church and, you know, just sort of giving me a quick witness, you know. And I worked up there with him probably about 3 or 4 hours. And next day I came in, and I thought surely I'd go back to my regular job. And the boss moved me back up there where the brother was. And so I went back up there where he was, and I had no problem with it right off, you know. So I went on up there, and he shook my hand, said, nice to see you. And he called me the kid because I was only in my 20s. And he made it a point to make friends with me and stick with me, you know, and show me all the ropes. And during my time there, I worked with him nearly every day for the first 3-4 weeks. And so every time I'd go up there, why, you know, he was always talking scriptures and talking about the Lord and this and that, you know. And so a little time slipped by, and I went up there probably 6 weeks later, and the boss said, I'm just going to leave you up here. And I thought, this is not good. And I thought myself I'd done heard everything he had to say, but that wasn't true either. He hadn't really started on me yet. And I would go up there to the machine, and I'd work with him. And he was a real nice guy, and he told me he was a Sunday school teacher at his church. And he said he loved to talk about the Lord. And I said, well, that's okay. You know, I'm trying to be macho. I really, deep down in my heart, I could have cared less, you know. And so anyway, he said that he'd like to talk to me, you know, about the Lord off and on and all of that. And I said, whatever you want to do, you know, do whatever you want to do. And I was trying to keep a stiff upper lip. And as time went by, well, like I say, the boss just left me up there. And I thought, well, of all the places to work, he dumps me here, you know. But you know what? It was God's plan. I wouldn't be here today probably if not. God had worked things out differently in my life. So I continued to go up there, and I worked with the brother day after day after day after day. So I went in one Monday morning, and Ralph said, hey, he said, I want to ask you a question. So I said, all right, whatever. And he said, I teach Sunday school, and he said, I was wondering if you would do me a favor. He said, I'd like to, when I'm preparing my Sunday school lessons, try them out on you. And you tell me how they are, or if I need to improve on them, or whatever, you know. I said, whatever. I said, I'll tell you what I think about them, I guess, you know. And, of course, you know, I swallowed that hook, bait, and sinker, and all that. And so he did. He started witnessing to me and telling me, you know, this is my lesson, and going through his lesson, and Ralph, he would make that lesson last till Friday. You know, he'd spread it out, and he would be teaching me things and telling me things about the Bible. And of course, half the time I wasn't paying that much attention from the beginning, you know. And so it went on, it rocked on for a while, you know. And I'd say about 30 days later, well, Ralph, he hollered at me one day, and he said, "Hey, Charlie," he said, come here, I want to ask you a question. I was working with him. And he said, hey, he said, are you afraid of the Lord or the Word of God or anything like that? He said, I know some people that I talk to, they seem to pull away. They get scared. They're scared to talk about the Lord or anything, you know, about the Bible or anything like that. Well, you know, that sort of rubbed me, Raul. And so I said, no. I said, it don't bother me, Ralph. I said, you just go ahead and talk all you want to. I said, it doesn't bother me, believe me. He said, well, that's good. He said, because he said, I've got a lot of stuff that I want to share with you. I said, that's great. I said, let her roll. And all the time I was wishing he would not. You know, I was wishing he'd just shut up and withdraw. But he did not. He cast the bait out, and I took it. And It was my weakness. I always liked to look good. I wanted to be a macho feller, you know, and so I hid behind a mask. And so he caught me. He started slowly reeling me in. So every day, 5 days a week, 8 to 9 hours a day, he was feeding me the Word of God. And so I would listen to him. I'd be polite to him and everything. And sometime right before lunch break, well, he'd bring me a Coke down there, and we'd take our break, and he would start in again, you know, and he'd go back into the Bible, and he'd be laying some scriptures on me and all of that, and he'd ask me, he'd say, "What do you think about that? Boy, wasn't that nice? Wasn't that good how the Lord worked that out?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I guess. I don't know." I said, "I'm not really familiar with the Bible. I guess it's all right, you know." And deep down in my heart, I was saying, "Well, looks like there'd be something else you could talk about. Of all the things that we could talk about, look like you could change the subject now and then." And he was sort of rubbing me the wrong way, you know. And so anyway, but I didn't let on, so I told him, I said, "Well, I don't know, you know." So time went on, and he invited me to his church. I guess I'd been working there probably about 3-4 months, something like that. And so he said, "Hey, Charlie," he said, we got some real nice people in my Sunday school class and that goes to church out there and all of that. And he said, "We're going to have a special get-together out there." And he said, "I'd like for you to come and just be with us and see how you like it." Well, I didn't want to go. So I told him, I said, "Well, I'll think about that, Ralph." And I said, "Maybe if I can, I might just come." And I just told him that to get him off of me. And he said, "Well, I really appreciate that." So I didn't go. And as soon as the bell rung, I was out of there. And I was doing my thing. And he went home, and that was the end of it. But the following Monday, he reminded me that he was looking for me, and all the people was wanting to meet me and all of that. And so I told him, I said, "Well, something come up, and I just didn't get to make it." He said, "Well, that's okay, Charlie." He said, "I know things happen like that." So he let a week or so go by, you know, and of course now he's every day I go in there, we're talking the Word of God, and he's filling me up, you know. And One Saturday, we had to work Saturday, and I thought, "Boy, this is not good." And I tried to get out of it, but I couldn't. Every time I saw an open door, I'd try to go for it, and I believe the Lord just shut the door because he knew I needed to stay with Ralph. And so we had to work a Saturday, so, you know, I got a little extra manna from him, you know. And He invited me to church again. They was going to have some singing or something at his church. And he said, "Please come out and be with us." He said, "We'd love to have you." I said, "I don't know if I can or not, Ralph." And he said, "Well, I'm going to be looking for you anyway." And so when he said that, I said, "Well, you can just look all you want to, you know, because I wasn't going. My heart wasn't in it, you know." And so I didn't go. And so he came back in the following Monday, you know, and said, "Charlie, we was all looking for you." I said, "Well, I just couldn't make it, Ralph." I said, "I got things to do, you know. I've got to take care of business and all of that," and one excuse after another. He didn't get mad. It didn't bother him. He said, "Well, that's okay, Charlie." He said, "Maybe you can make it again sometime, you know." And so I said, "Well, okay." So I was really giving him a hard time, and he knew that. And sometimes he'd be talking, and I'd say, "I'll be back in a minute. I've got to go take a break, you know, get some water or whatever." And I'd be gone like 15, 20 minutes. And I was giving him time to wind down or slow down or whatever, but he didn't slow down and he didn't stop. And when I went back, well, he'd pick up with the Word of God exactly where he stopped with. And he said, "Hey, while you're gone, I think the Lord showed me this." And he'd just pick it up and go with it. And I thought, "Well, what's wrong with this guy?" You know, and he invited me to go to his church with him several times, probably about 6-8 different times, you know. And he even come by my house one time and to see me, you know. And I thought, "Wow, this is not good." And not only am I working with him, but now he's following me home, you know. And it sort of irritated me. I thought, "What's wrong? What's with this guy here, you know?" Looked like he could talk to somebody else, you know. And I mean, I enjoyed working with him, but, you know, he's really bugging me, you know. he's cramping my style. So anyway, he came up the house and talked with me a little bit, and he said, won't you come out the house sometime and have supper with us? I said, I don't think I can do that. And so anyway, I got all that. I thought, nope, he ain't going to mess up my weekends. This is my time off, and I ain't fooling with him. That's exactly, you know, where I was cutting that cake. And so I'd say probably about 8-9 months went by, and he's still witnessing to me. He's still he's taking time out to explain scriptures to me and telling me about the love of God, the grace of God, and people need to be saved, you know, because there's coming a time, you know, when all of this is going to end and all of that. And so I thought, wow, I am in a bad situation here, but I can't afford to quit because I need the job. So I kept my plastic smile on it and just endured. And I thought, wow. I thought, well, some of these times maybe he'll be off a week and I'll get out of something. He didn't miss a day while I was working there. He never took a vacation day or anything. I mean, he was hammering me with the word, you know. And so one time he told me, he said, hey, Charlie, he said, when are you going to come out to the church and see me? And I told him, I said, I don't know, Ralph. I said, I threw this at him. I said, well, we believe different than you do, Ralph. I said, I think most of my family's Church of God or something. I said, so maybe I shouldn't do that. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, the Lord will save you wherever you're at. And I thought, well, what is he, you know, I don't need to be saved. I just need this job is all I need, you know. And I just kept pushing him away from me. And every time I pushed him away, he just got a little closer and a little closer. And so I think it was getting close to a year. And so one time we was off this weekend, and so I left the house. My whole plan was to go down to my friend's house, and we were going to come to my house and spend time there, listen to music and all of this. And we had our own plans made. So I went to pick him up. He lived down in the country about 7 miles from my house. And I went down there and picked him up and brought him back to my house. And about halfway between his house and my house, this strange occurrence happened. We were riding along, and I didn't know what it was at the time, but anyway, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon both of us in the car. And both of us just went to crying and weeping and going on, and I thought, boy, what is happening here? And we were crying so heavily that I couldn't see how to keep the car in the road, so I pulled it off to the side, and we sat there probably what seemed like 10 minutes, just a weeping and a crying. And so after about 8-10 minutes, while the Spirit just sort of lifted off of us, and I thought, wow, this guy's going to think I'm some kind of wimp. And I sort of looked over at him, and he was wiping the tears out of his eyes, and he was looking at me. And so I told him, I said, what happened here? And he said, hey, I don't know. And he said, this is weird. And so we made a little pact between ourselves because, you know, we wanted to stay cool. It ain't cool for a man to cry, you know, and act like that. So we agreed that we wouldn't tell nobody. And so we went on to the house and spent the weekend and all of that. But I couldn't get it off of my mind. I mean, I'd go to bed at night, and I was thinking about that, and I thought, what was that? Well, what was going on? That ain't never happened to me in my whole life, you know. So the whole weekend was ruined for me, you know. I didn't want to really do anything. I didn't want to go nowhere. I was grounded. And so I went to work Monday, and there's Ralph. And I thought, wow, what is going on here, you know. But I didn't mention nothing to him. It was later on when I did get born again, and when the Lord saved me, that we sort of put the two pieces of puzzle together, and he let me know what was going on. And so he was talking to me and giving me scriptures, and I mean, he had some good messages, but, you know, that's just not where I live. So, I really wasn't, I was rebellious, you know, and I was just turning him off. He could talk all he wanted to, but I was going to turn him off. And this particular week, I had the incident on my mind. I thought, what was going on, and how can I prevent that from ever happening again, you know? I mean, you can't hang out with your friends and be a wimp and cry and go on like we did. And so I really wasn't paying much attention to Ralph and his testimonies or anything else that week. I was tore up, and I'm pretty sure probably Ralph knew what was going on, but he wasn't giving nothing away. And he kept witnessing to me, and he was actually, by the grace of God, he was wearing me down. He was actually wearing me down. Because I got to a point, after the Lord's conviction power came on me and my friend in the car, that I said, maybe I need to listen to what Ralph's saying, you know. Maybe I ought to treat him a little nicer, you know, and give him a chance to say whatever he wants to. Maybe he'll say something that maybe I really need to know. Maybe he'll, in his talking to me and witnessing about the Lord, he'll bring this situation up sometime and I'll know what happened. So I gave more heed to listening to what he said, and I paid more attention to what he said, and he'd get me involved in all the Bible studies, and he'd ask me questions, and so I started getting a little serious with him, you know. I really didn't know the Word of God. I didn't know God. I didn't know anything about the church. I mean, you know, I was just a heathen. I didn't know anything. And so he'd bring up the questions out of the Bible and share them with me and everything. And he'd ask me, what do you think about that? Reckon why do you think the Lord went that route to achieve a victory for Israel or whatever, you know? And he'd get me to thinking, and I'd say, Ralph, just give me a few minutes here to think about that. I said, I'm not sure. And sometimes, you know, he'd give me like 10 minutes or so, and I'd come back with him, and I'd say, Ralph, I don't know why he did it that way. If it was me, I would have probably packed a gun or something, you know. And I'd always come back with something stupid, something carnal. And it wasn't because I really wanted to. It's just all I knowed, you know. I mean, that was what was in my computer, you know. That's the way I was programmed. And Ralph would laugh at me, and he'd say, no, Charlie, that won't work. That won't work. And then he'd give me scriptures to show me why it wouldn't work. You know, but he was, like I say, Ralph, he was very meek. It didn't matter how I treated him or what, but I tried to treat him, like I say, fairly decent. You know, I tried to respect him, you know, as much as I could, by wearing my, you know, plastic smile and keeping my, macho figure alive, you know, and so it'd been probably about a year. And so Ralph came to me one day, and he said, Charlie, he said, I just don't know what the deal is. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I've been witnessing to you for a little over a year now. And he said, I don't know what the problem is, but he said, Charlie, I tell you what we're going to do. He said, I'm going to start praying for you. And I said, praying for me? He said, yep. He said, we're going to start praying for you. And he said, we're going to lift you up before the Lord. And he said, maybe we can get somewhere that way. And he didn't tell me that him and about four or five of his buddies at church was going to do a fast. But that's exactly what they set me up for. They went on, I think it was either a 3 or 5 day fast. And everybody's praying for Charlie that the Lord would convict him and bring him in, you know, whatever it took. You break him, get him in here, you know. But he didn't tell me that till after I got saved. And that had something to do with the incident that I had in the car. But I didn't know that. So I thought, well, you know. So anyway, I said, well, that's okay, Ralph. I guess I probably need to be prayed for, and, you know. And I did. I mean, I was in bad shape, you know. And so Ralph said, well, I just thought I'd tell you, because he said, I just want to pray for you. I said, well, okay, that's fine, you know. And so he did. Him and his friends went on a fast. And that was the most miserable week that I had ever had in my whole life. Everything went wrong. Nothing worked. And I thought, wow, what is going on here, you know? Even my friends, they quit coming up the house. They didn't come up there for 2 weeks. I thought, wow, what is going on, you know? So, finally, Ralph, I went back to work on a Monday, and I mean, I had a bad week, you know, and the weekend was terrible. And I thought, this ain't, there's just something wrong here, you know. Something ain't working for me, that's all I gotta say. And so I went back to work on a Monday, and Ralph said, hey, Charlie, he said, I want to invite you to church again. And he sort of caught my ear this time, you know. And I said, well, I said, I might could do it. And he said, no, Charlie, he said, I want you to come out there and visit me. He said, I've invited you several times, but you never have time to come out there. He said, just come one time, will you? I said, well, I'll do my best to get out there this time. And so I did. And so I went home. We worked that week, and he was laying the word on me all week, you know, and all. And he said, I want you to know everything about my lesson, because when you come out there, he said, then you get to sit there and you get to, you know, listen to it again. And he said, I might make a few changes. He said, we're going to have a good time and all that, and I want to introduce you to my friends and the preacher and this and that. And I said, well, okay, whatever. And he already had me softened up a little bit now. So I told my mom when I got off for the weekend, I told her, I said, set the alarm and get me up. I said, I'm going to go out to Ralph's church this Sunday. And she said, you what? I mean, that just floored her. I said, yeah, I'm going to go out there. I said, well, I guess I ought to. I said, maybe if I go out there one time, well, that'll be it. And maybe he'll cut me some slack, you know. I said, I'm going to go out there because I told him so many different times that I would and I wouldn't. And she said, well, okay. So sure enough, she got me up, and so I got ready, and I went out to his church, and I pulled in, and I went inside the church, and it was a pretty good-sized church. From the back to the front was probably about maybe 60 feet, 70 feet, something like that. And I sort of looked around, and I didn't see Ralph nowhere, so I thought, well, I'm just going to sit back here in the back, you know. And that way, you know, if I don't like what's going on, I'll just sneak out, you know. And he won't know if I've been here or how long I've been here or nothing. And that's my way of escape. That's my plan. And so that's what I did. I went in the very back of the church, right by the door, and I sat down. And I hadn't been down there probably 5 minutes. And Ralph came out of his Sunday school class and ran back there where I was at. And he was really thrilled to see me. And he said, well, I'm really, really glad to see you, Charlie. I said, well, I'm glad to be here, but I really wasn't. I thought, well, what am I doing here? You know, this ain't me. I shouldn't be here, you know. And I told him, I said, well, that's good. And so they got the service started, and so they said, you know, everybody go to your class. So Ralph took me into his class. He had 20 and 30-year-olds. And so he took me in there, and everybody sat down, and he introduced me. He said, hey, class, I want you to meet Charlie, my good friend. I work with him. We talk Bible and this and that, you know, and I'm back there sort of embarrassed. Like, I thought, we talk Bible. Wow, you know, and I sort of shrunk down in the chair, you know, and everything. But everybody was nice, and everybody said, welcome, Charlie, you know. And I said, well, okay, thank you, and all that. I tried to be nice. Like I say, Ralph was breaking me pretty bad, but I didn't want to give the clue that I was being broke. And so anyway, he went through the Sunday school lesson, and it was pretty much what he had preached to me all week. And I thought, wow. And he was talking about people being born again, being drawn by the Spirit of God, and the grace of God, you know, and that we need to come to Him and make things right, because we're at war with God, and we need peace with God. We need to settle the score. And he just went on and on. I thought, wow, yeah, that's exactly what he's been telling me all week long, you know. But this time it was different, because now I'm on Ralph's turf and the Lord's turf, and I wasn't on middle ground at work. And everything was different. Everything he said cut me. I mean, it just pierced my heart. And I thought, wow. So So I'm sitting back there, and I'm getting very, very uncomfortable. And so I thought, well, Ralph, you know, hurry, get this thing over. I mean, I already know the end, you know, how it ends and everything. And Ralph, he didn't get no hurry, you know. So he went ahead and finished it. And so he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to quit about 3 or 4 minutes early. He said, I was wondering if anybody in here would like to have prayer, or would you like us to pray for you or anything like that? And, of course, I'm wanting to get back out there to my little seat in the back that I've got reserved so I can, my plan is to cut quick, you know, cut this thing off. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe somebody will want prayer and I'll just go on out there. Well, nobody didn't want prayer. It was me that was needing prayer, but I couldn't see that, you know. So, you know, nobody moved and I didn't move. And I'm sitting back there and I'm getting jittery. I'm getting shaky, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, why don't the bell ring, you know, and I mean, I'm in a bad way, and I thought, wow, what's going on here, you know, and I was very uncomfortable, and I didn't know what was going on, you know, and so finally the bell did ring, and everybody got up gracefully and came back there, and they shook my hand, and two or three of them hugged my neck, and I thought, what is this, you know, I didn't like that worth a flip, because I said, I don't know these people, you know. And so, but they was very lovely people, and you know, and they said, oh, Charlie, we're so glad to meet you, you know, and made me feel good and bragged on me and thanked me for coming out there and spending time with them in their class and inviting me to come back and all of this, you know. And so when they got done, I told Ralph, I said, well, I'll meet you out in the auditorium. And so I just cut it and went back all the way back to the back, the seat next to the door, and I went back there and sat down. And I thought, wow, I must be retarded or something for coming out here. I mean, you know, I should have never come, you know. I was very, very depressed and everything else. I thought, wow, this is not good. You know, I'm on his turf here, and I'm going to have to play by his rules, and this ain't good. And The preacher made an announcement and church starts, you know, and I thought, well, maybe this ain't going to be too bad, you know, and I sat back there for a little while, you know, and I thought, well, somewhere down the line here, if they take up an offering or something, somebody, they bow their heads or something, I'm going to get out of here. And, well, that didn't work because he didn't take up an offering. And so I thought, well, and every time I think I had a way of escape planned out, it didn't work that way. So the preacher said, I'm going to go right in on to the message this morning. And I thought, well, okay, go ahead. Give your message, and then we can get out of here. And so he did. He had a good salvation message, you know. And he was preaching on the lost, you know, and how they needed God. And I thought, wow, it's almost like he copied Ralph's little Sunday school lesson or something, or they must have got together on this or something, you know, and so the preacher, he had a real good message, you know, and he was preaching, and every time he said something about, you know, the Lord, or to be born again, or, you know, let the Lord draw you, you know, to his side and save you and everything, I was getting more and more and more nervous, and I caught myself several times. My hands were shaking, and I thought, well, I don't know what this is, but I've got to get out of here. I can't just sit here much longer, you know. And I mean, I was really sweating it out. And all the time I was doing this, well, I had my plastic smile on, and I'm sitting back there like Mr. Macho, because I don't want nobody to see me, you know. Get emotional in any way, you know, that is not a good place to get emotional. And so the preacher said, he sort of stopped his message, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm really impressed with the Lord. Somebody here this morning needs to come up to the altar and give your heart to the Lord. I thought, wow. And I was really shaken then, you know, I mean, I was totally uncomfortable, you know. And so they waited a minute or so, and nobody moved. And so the preacher, he got the singers up there, and he asked them to sing a song or two. They did. And they was free. They was singing the blood, and I thought, wow, you know. And I mean, I was getting clobbered back here, you know. And so when they got done singing, then the preacher he came back to the pulpit, and he said, there's still somebody in here that really needs to get serious with the Lord, and you need to think about coming to the altar and making it right with him. So at this point, I mean, you know, I'm tore all the pieces, and I'm shaking, and I don't want nobody seeing that I'm shaking, and all of that. And so in my mind, I just said this. I said, well, whoever it is, I wish to God they'd get up there and go to the altar, and I'll get out of here, you know. But I didn't know it was me. You know, the Lord was dealing with me. And so I burst it out, you know, like that within my heart, you know. And I said, I wish somebody would just get up there and so I could get out of here. And so the preacher said, well, we're gonna wait another minute. He said, I don't want to rush on this. He said, I don't want nobody's blood on my hands, you know. And so he had the singers to sing another song. And I thought, well, they're going to drag us out all day, you know. And I thought, somebody needs to get with the program and go to the altar and so I can get out of here. And so they sung their songs and nobody moved. And I thought, this ain't good. Somebody needs to do something. And Ralph, he was probably about three or four rows of seats up in front of me. He stands up and he comes back up where I'm at. And as he was walking back towards me, while the preacher asked him to sing another song. And so Ralph came back there to me, and he said, Charlie, he said, wouldn't you like to go down to the altar? I said, who, me? I said, not me. I said, I'm all right. You know, I'm all right. I said, we talk Bible. You know, I'm okay, you know. And he said, Charlie, he said, you need to be born again. And they're up there singing and everything. And the preacher about that time said, I'd like for everybody to stand up. So then now I'm forced to stand up. So I stood up, and I'm standing by Ralph, and Ralph is talking to me about going to the altar. And when I stood up, my legs wouldn't hold me up. And they was shaking and trembling, and I don't know, I was just coming unglued, you know. I was really in a bad fix. And I thought, wow, I hope nobody don't look back here. They're going to think awful of me, you know. I mean, look at me, you know. And Ralph said, come on, Charlie. He said, I'll walk down there with you. I said, I don't want to. I said, I don't need to go down there. I'm all right. You know I'm okay. He said, Charlie, he said, it's not, we shouldn't be playing games. He said, it's you that the Lord wants to go down there. Well, I run out of ammunition, so I said, really, Ralph? And he laid his hands on my shoulder. He said, I'll be glad to pray for you. And when he said that, why, I ran to the altar. And it was a good run, like I say, probably about 60 feet or so. I ran down there, and as I was running, I screamed at the top of my voice, and I was begging God to have mercy on me. And I went all the way down to the altar. I went all the way down to the altar, and I bowed down over the altar, and I went to crying out to God. I said, Father God, I said, please forgive me. I know I've sinned against you and all of this. And I heard somebody way back in the background say, confess your sins. And I said, well, Lord, you know I'm a liar and you know I'm a this. And I confessed two or three things. And I said, Lord, I don't know what all I have done, you know. And while I was talking to the Lord, Ralph kneeled down beside of him. And I could hear him. He was praying for me right here at my left side. And the singers came back and they were singing, and the people that was in the congregation, they was shouting and rejoicing and all of that. And all of a sudden, while everybody was doing all of this, praising and worshiping God, it was like a dome of silence fell down over me, and I couldn't hear anything anymore. And I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know where everybody went. And I didn't open my eyes because I didn't know what was going on. Everything was so quiet. There wasn't no shouting. I didn't hear Ralph praying. I didn't hear anything. And so I just sat there real quiet, like, because I didn't know what to do. And as I was kneeled down at the altar, I looked toward I didn't open my eyes, but I was looking toward the back of the church there. And suddenly there came a large bright light in to the sanctuary. And it came right down there to the altar where I was at. And it just totally engulfed me, you know. I couldn't see anything but light. It was on me. It was all around me. It was everywhere. And I didn't know what it was. But I was at total peace. I wasn't afraid anymore. And as I was there and I was looking at this light, how bright it was and how pure it was, it was like you could feel love coming out of this light. And then suddenly, there was a voice that came out of this light, and he went to talking to me. He even knowed my name. And he went to quoting scriptures to me, and he went to talking to me. And I said, oh, I couldn't even move, you know. And he talked with me what seemed like maybe 3 to 5 minutes. And as I was there still bowed over, as I was praying, then the dome of silence lifted off of me. And I could hear the people around me singing and worshiping God and calling on His name. And the preacher came down there, and Ralph stood up and said, Charlie, I believe you, son, have got born again. And I hugged his neck, and he hugged my neck, and I never had felt so much peace. I had never felt so light in my whole life. I felt so good. So clean for a change. I felt like I'd got a brand new lease on life. And while I was standing there with Ralph, the preacher said, turn around here, son. And I turned around to face the congregation. And I heard 2 or 3 people in the congregation shouting, oh my God, look at his face, it's shining. And I heard a man, he shouted the same thing. He said, oh my, look at his face, it's shining, look at that. And people was going, oh, ooh. So, when they got done, the preacher walked up to me. And he hugged my neck. And he said, son, he said, the Lord has marvelously saved you. He said, would you like to testify? And I remember whispering in my heart, I said, Lord, I don't know how to testify. I don't know what to do here. And it didn't no more come out of my mind that I didn't know what to do till the Lord... One of the scriptures that he gave me when the light was there came back across my mind. And I said, all right. And this was what he told me. This is what the light told me, which was the Lord. He said, I came that you may have life and may you have it more abundantly. So that's what I told them. And everybody said, that is really good. And the preacher hugged my neck and everything. And so after we shook hands and everything, well, then I was going home. And as I went out and got into my car and I was trying to make my way home, I never felt good like that before. The only thing I had on my mind was, wow, I want to see this shine, this light that's on my face. And I thought, wow, I got to get home. I got to tell Mom and them that I got saved. And so we had a Baptist man and woman that lived three or four houses down from us. And I thought, wow, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to tell them that I got born again. So I got out of the car and they was coming out the back of their house. And I hollered, I said, Tom, Betty. I said, I just got saved. I just got born again. And they came out there where I was at. And both of them stayed back off of me, probably about 10 feet. And both of them said, oh, my goodness, look at his face. It's shining. It's like the sun. And again, I thought, well, I've got to get home. I want to see this. So they talked with me, and they hugged me, and they told me they was really proud of me. So I thanked them, and I run and got back in the car, and I went on up the hill, and I went to the house, and I went in, and as I was going into the house, I just glanced up at the sky, and the sky was bluer than I'd ever seen it in my whole life. And I looked out across the yard where Mama had flowers, and the grass was as green could be, and the flowers were so beautiful. And I thought, wow, I've never noticed or ever seen, you know, the grass this green, the sky this blue. And I thought, wow, this is really great. So I went in the house, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I got saved today. I said, I gave my heart to the Lord. The poor old thing, she sort of wept. She said, well, I'm really glad. So I went in, and I was changing my clothes. She was fixing dinner, and I thought, I've got to get in there. I want to look in the big mirror. I want to see what's on my face. And so sure enough, I went there, and I stood before the mirror just for a minute or so, and my face was still shining. And I thought, well, I don't know what this is, but this is great. Oh, my goodness. So I did. I got born again by the marvelous grace of God, and He turned my life around totally, 100%. And then I thought, well, now I've got to find me a place to go to church. I had a great hunger. I had a desire, believe it or not. I've got to go to the house of God. I've got to get in church somewhere. And so I did. We went to a different church. I went to Ralph's church probably a couple of weeks, but I told him I'd really like to maybe go somewhere else. So I did. We got into a church, and everything was good. And I was at this Pentecostal church. I went there regular. I was most of the time I was there before anybody else got there to unlock the doors. I wanted to get there first, and I wanted to be the last one to leave. And while I was there at that church, well, I learned about the gifts of the Spirit, and we needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and all of that. And I thought, wow, okay, I need to do this, you know. And while I was there, why, nearly every night, why, they would ask people to come up to be filled with the Spirit. And I didn't really know how to receive. I didn't know anything. So the preacher would say, come on up and we'll pray for you. So I thought, well, I'm going. And Linda and myself, we went up there for them to pray for us and everything. And there was a many a times that I went up there, and Linda also, and they'd start praying over us, and the Lord would just lay us to the floor. His Spirit would just come all over us. We didn't understand it. We didn't know. We'd only been saved a few weeks. But we enjoyed it because it was good. And so while we were there, why, we went to this other little church where they was going to have a revival or whatever. And I'd been saved now probably 6 or 8 weeks, something like that. And while I was there, they wanted to know if anybody would like to testify. Would anybody like to testify of being born again? And I thought, well, here's me a chance to get to tell them, you know, what the Lord did for me. And so I thought it was okay to do that. There was other people getting up. They were testifying, and they were saying things, you know. And I thought, well, I want to. I want to give praise to the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for saving me. But when I got up and I started telling them everything that happened to me, the light that I saw, and the Lord speaking to me and everything, they stopped me. They told me to sit down. They said, stuff like that don't happen, son. You need to quit drawing attention to yourself. And it crushed me. I didn't know what to do or what to say, because I thought I'd done something wrong and I didn't understand. And so I never did try to testify anymore, because I thought, well, if I do, I'm going to offend everybody. They're going to tell me to sit down. So I never did from that day on. So I went. After that, we left that church and we went on home that day. And my neighbor, she went to high school with me. She went to a church and she bought me a brand new Bible. And she brought it over and gave it to me. And she said, Charlie, you need to read your Bible. And I said, okay, I can do that. And so I would get in a habit of getting up early in the morning and I'd read it. And 2 hours was nothing for me to sit somewhere and read the Word. I didn't understand much what I was reading, but I was still putting it in my heart. And I figured the Lord had helped me out with it, you know, maybe later on or whatever. He'd explain it to me. And so I got a strong desire to read the Word. And I thought, wow. So I started reading the Word. I'd read the Word 2 and 4 hours a day. And when I got off from work, I'd come home and read another 2 hours. And I hated to go to work because I had to lay the Bible down. And I was just consumed with this urge to read the Bible. And I read it all that I possibly could. And I even asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading here. I don't understand what I'm reading, Lord. So a few days after that, I went out, and we had an old Volkswagen sitting at the corner of the house, and I'd go out there and get in that so nobody would bother me or the phone wouldn't ring or anything like that, because I didn't want nobody bothering me. And I was sitting out there reading the Word of God, and it was a battle that God put David into, and he told David to... David was praying and asking God, will you deliver him into my hands? And the Lord said, yes, I'll deliver him in your hands. Go. And I thought, wow, this is going to be a good story here. And so I started reading it, and I didn't hardly get off the first verse. And as I was reading it, it was like a giant screen TV appeared before my face. And as I was reading the Word, it was like the Lord was running a movie, and I got to see this thing. I got to see this battle that David was fighting. I could see the way they was arrayed in their armor and their uniforms and their banners. I could see them meeting on the battlefield. It was all being played out before me. And I stayed out there. I thought maybe I only read one or two chapters, but I was out there over an hour. I mean, I just kept reading, and as long as I was reading, he was showing it to me like a movie. And I thought, wow, this is great. I've never, never, ever experienced anything like that. And so that even drove me even greater to get in the Word, stay in the Word. And so I told my mom one time, I said, wow, I said, you need to get your Bible. I said, you need to read. I said, the Lord will show you something. She said, yeah, he'll show you things. She misunderstood me. I was trying to tell her that he had put a screen before you and show it to you like a movie. And he's done me that way several times. He shows me to it just like it's a movie, and you're sitting there, and as you read the words, it's being played out before you. And so I got a great desire to read and study the Word. And I was seeking after the Holy Spirit to be filled, because I wanted to do what I'd been reading in Mark, laying hands on the sick and all of that. And so Linda, she had a good friend that had MS, and she'd been spending time with her, and I guess we knew her. I got to hang around with her and be with her probably a year, and she got real, real sick one time, and they had to rush her to the hospital, and I thought, wow. So I told Linda, I said, we're just going to pray for her. I said, if we pray for her, the Lord will heal her. So they had her in the hospital, so we went to the hospital, and we went into the room when we could, and she was in there, and we talked to her for a little while, and I said, Eloise, I said, you go to church and you believe on laying on of hands, don't you? And she said, sure do. I said, well, that's what we're going to do. I said, we're going to ask God to heal you. And I said, I know he will. And she said, well, I know he will too. I said, well, let's just believe. So the best I knew how to pray, it was so short, so simple, but right to the point. And I said, Jesus, I said, I ask you to heal her and make her whole. I said, I ask you, dear Lord, because by your stripes we are healed. And I said, I thank you for it, Lord. And I had all the confidence in the world that he was going to do it. So we hung around with her probably an extra hour or so. And we had to go back home because we had to go to work. We're on second shift now. So she stayed in the hospital another probably couple, 3 days or so. And every chance I got at work, I would just stop for a minute, and I would thank the Lord for healing her. And I said, Lord, thank you so much for healing her and getting rid of that old MS. She can get up and walk around and do what she please. And I was just praising him and thanking him for his goodness and his mercy toward her. And this went on for 2 or 3 days. And every once in a while, we'd call and see when she was going to get out of the hospital and everything. And her mom said, well, she'll probably get out sometime next week. And so that was good. And so we just went right on about our business and everything. But when it drawed down to probably about the last 2 days that she spent in the hospital, something went completely wrong. And they had to rush her into emergency care, and nobody was allowed to go in but her mom. And so I think it was Linda that told me. She filled me in on all of it, and she said, "Wow," she said, "something's happened to Eloise, and they've got her in intensive care, and they don't think she's going to live." I said, "Yeah, she's healed. She has to live." But the next morning, they called us and said that she died. And when they told me that, I said, well, I said, that can't be true. And so, I mean, it tore me down a little bit. And I said, wow, Lord, what did I do wrong here? I know you keep your word, Lord. You sent your word to heal us, Father. And we're talking about somebody that's only been saved about 3 years now. And so I went to work heartbroken. And I cried and I wept before the Lord on my job all night long. And when dinner came around, I got my Bible out and I was reading and studying the Bible and I was seeking the Lord. And so I just broke down and cried to him. I said, Father, you said we could pray for the sick, and I said we prayed for her. And I said we was expecting her to come out healed, Father. And he didn't give me no answer, but I felt his presence, and I knew he was right there somewhere around me. So when it got almost quitting time, getting close to midnight, I cried out to him again, and he said, do you really want to see her healed? And I said, yes, Lord. And I told him, I said, but I guess it's too late, isn't it? And he didn't answer me anything, but his presence was right there with me. So now he's got me thinking in a different direction. And so I went home, and I went to my room, shut the door, and I was reading and studying my Bible, and I stopped. And I said, Lord, what did you mean? I said, that we prayed for her to be healed. And he asked me a question. He said, do you want to see her healed? And I said, yes, Lord. And he said, well, then I want you to go over there. They had taken her body to the funeral home. He said, I want you to go over there tonight and take a bottle of oil. I want you to go and anoint her and command her spirit to come back. And he said, I'll heal her and raise her from the dead. And when he said that, I freaked out. I said, oh, God. I said, I don't know if I could do that or not. And I said, Lord, raise her from the dead. Heal her and raise her from the dead, Lord. I mean, you know, I'm just young in the Lord, and I didn't know what to do or how to react to that. And while I was there drifting off into doubt, the Spirit of the Lord just came right into the bedroom where I was at. And it was like a wet blanket just fell over me from the top of my head all the way down to my feet. And I said, wow. I said, what is this? And he said, go. Take the oil and go pray for her. I'll raise her from the dead and heal her body. He said, I want this religious town to shake and know that I am still God and that I'll do what I say I will do. And I said, wow. And I said, Lord, if this is what I'm really supposed to do, and he's standing there talking to me, I said, if this is what you really want me to do, I said, when Linda comes in the next 30 minutes, you tell her and let her tell me. So I've got this anointing all over me. Feels like a wet blanket hanging on me. I can feel it. It's heavy. And I'm walking the floor. And I said, wow, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. I don't know how we'll get in over here at midnight. But if you send me, you'll have to make the way. And I'm just talking to him like that. I'm trying to convince him that everything's going to work out. And about that time, Linda knocked on the door and came in my bedroom. And she said, you ain't going to believe this. And I said, what? And she said, the Lord told me on the way home that you're supposed to go and anoint Eloise with oil, and he's going to heal her and raise her from the dead. And I thought, wow. And I said, Lord, I said, help me to do this. But the more I got to thinking about it, then I drifted off into doubt and unbelief. And within the next 2 to 3 minutes, I was telling the Lord how I couldn't do it. I said, Lord, there's no way to do this. I said, I can't get in there. I can't do that. And when I started talking like that, the anointing lifted off of me. And then I felt real miserable. I thought, wow, I've totally rebelled against the Lord. I'm disobedient now. I mean, you know. So then I fell to my knees and I asked God to forgive me. I said, Lord, this is all new to me, but I do want to be obedient to you, and I do want you to use me however you will. And so I cried out to him and asked him to forgive me. And the next morning I got up, his presence was in my bedroom, and there was such love there, and I knew that he had forgiven me. And there's many, many, many other things that has occurred to me. Not that I'm anybody special. I don't know why he does these things, or why he even chose me to see and to witness of these things. He sent angels to me. He's appeared to me. He speaks to me. He gets me up of a night, 2 and 3 o'clock, and he's telling me scriptures. He's connecting scriptures together. I'm trying to write them down. And there's been many times when God would come in my room, you could feel his presence. It was so strong and rich. And he'd come into my room and he would wake me and say, I'm going to teach you something. And I got into the habit where I'd lay pencil and paper down by my bed. And I'd lay there real still in the bed, and he'd start talking to me, and I wouldn't open my eyes, only enough so I could see to jot down a few things, jot down some scriptures, and some things that he was giving me. And sometimes he'd get in a real fast mode, and I'd say, Lord, I can't write this stuff this fast, please. Can we go a little slower here? And he'd get me up. I know one time he got me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was 9:30 the next morning when I got done, and I had 20 pages of notes, and it took me 2 months to go through them all and try to rewrite them so I could read them high decent, so I could share them with somebody. And they wasn't, you know, they was on my level. He didn't give me something above my level so I'd have trouble with. You know, he met me where I was. He met me where my faith level was. And he was causing me to grow. Because then I got into a habit. I'd go home at night and I expected him to come in that room. I expected him to talk to me. I expected him to come by my bedside and comfort me and talk to me. And he did. He never did. Not one time disappoint me. Never, ever, never. And there's been many times in my life where he had sent a messenger angel to me. And he'd walk right through the door. And I know one time we was, Linda and I, we was working. It was late. It was getting close to midnight and it was snowing. And about 30 minutes before letting us out, they decided we better let them go home before it gets too deep. And we had a little Volkswagen Bug. And for the last, I guess, probably the last few weeks, we had been reading Roland Buck, Angels on Assignment. And, I mean, it captivated me. I thought, wow, this man's got angels coming to him. This is neat. I can relate a little bit to this. And, I mean, I read the book probably 5 times. And it was during this time that we was reading and studying this Dear Brothers book, that this snow came, and so we went and got in our little Volkswagen Bug, and we had to drive all the way across town, probably about 3-4 miles to get home. And this particular night, we went the same way we always went, level traveling, not up or down hills or anything, and we went right on into town. And when we got down there within about a block of where Lee University is there in Cleveland, why, I lost the traffic light, and so I started slowly tapping my brakes. And when I did, something grabbed the back of my car, and there was a ditch on both sides of the road, probably about 3 foot deep, and it pushed my car all the way across the road. And I saw where we was going, and I didn't have time to do anything. I just said, Jesus! And when I did, the car stopped, and I felt two big hands slap the side of the car, and it pushed it back out on my side of the road. And just as soon as the car got back out on my side of the road, the red light changed. And we just went right on home, and we had no problem getting home. And I thought, wow. I told Linda, I said, I believe God sent an angel down here, just like he did with Pastor Roland Buck, to get us home. And I was on cloud 9 for, I guess, 2 weeks. And I even went back and reread the book. I said, I got to read this again. And that really enthused me and encouraged me. And I had so much joy. But again, I couldn't share that with anybody. And I was trying to share it with a brother one time on the work, but he didn't believe in stuff like that. So I just eased back off of him, and I didn't go any further. And I thought, wow, I can't give my testimony, and I can't tell him what is going on in my life. So I withdrew. And it's just been recently with Brother David and his ministry that he came up my house one time, and I shared my testimony with him. And he received it. He didn't cut me off. He didn't tell me that things like that don't happen. He didn't demand me to sit down and shut up. He didn't tell me I was trying to draw glory to myself. He encouraged me. And he said, brother, you need to share that with the people. And he sort of startled me because I had never heard anybody encourage me in a testimony or anything before. And I just thank God. I thank God that I finally got to a place where somebody could help me along the way and encourage me to testify or encourage me to do something, to share something with somebody, no matter how small it is or how great it is. And I just thank God for saving me. And I thank God for manifesting himself to me the day I got saved and nearly every day that follows. There's never a dull day. I look forward for the Lord to do something exciting every day. I look for the Lord to pay me a visit. I look for the Lord to share with me. I look for the Lord to feed me and keep me going. I look for the Lord to help me and to strengthen me and to undergird me. And he does. He has never failed me. He's always there to help me. And I praise God. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. I thank you for the encouragement that I've been getting for UBM people and from Brother David and Brother Frank and all of those that's around me that encourages me to testify, share, go for it, get involved. And I just praise the Lord for it. I thank you, Jesus. I'm not ashamed of you. I cannot deny you. You're real. You are the Son of God. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, dear God. And that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm not boasting on me or my good things. I'm boasting on the Lord and what he's done for me, how he's broke the chains of fetters in my life and set me free, how he's brought me out. He brought me out like he did Lazarus and said, loose him and let him go. Oh. And there's a scripture in Ephesians 5:14 says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and the Christ shall shine upon thee. And that's exactly what he did. The very day I got saved, he came to me in a special way. And I thank him for it. And I praise him for it. And I love him. I love him and I want to serve him. I want to commit my ways unto the Lord. I want to be his servant. I want to do whatever he has for me to do. And I praise him. I thank him for his Holy Spirit. I thank him for this day. I thank you for the opportunity tonight, Lord, to share with those that maybe have never heard. I thank you, Lord, for everything, your many blessings. And I just want to say this, and then I'll turn it back over to Brother David. All I'm doing is witnessing of the things that I've heard and that I've saw from the Lord. That's all I'm doing. And I'd like to, if I may, to get another witness or two out of the Bible that says pretty much the same thing. The first one I would like to read is in John chapter 1, about the first 7 verses. It says that in the beginning the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things became through Him, and I became born again through Him. Hallelujah. And without Him, nothing became that had become. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. And it says in verse 6, and there came to be a man sent from God. The same came for a witness, and that's what I want to be, a witness, that he might witness of the light. And that's what I'm trying to do tonight, that all might believe through him. And the other scripture I'd like to share with you is in 1 John. If you got your Bible handy, flip to 1 John right quick. I'd like to read the first five verses, if I may. And it says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, amen, and we have seen and witnessed and declare to you the life, the eternal, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, amen. What we have seen and heard, declare we unto you also, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, that our joy may be full. And thank you, Lord, my joy is full tonight. Verse 5, and this is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. That's what I was doing. I was lying to myself, lying to Ralph. I thought I was all right, but I was a liar. I was lying. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to continue. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Hallelujah. If there's anybody out there listening tonight that maybe you don't know the Lord, or maybe you went back on Him, please turn back to the Lord before you still got time, while His grace and mercy is still being poured out in this day in which we live. And I praise you, Jesus. I ask you to deal with their hearts, O God. I ask you to deal with them and draw them and ooh them to you, Lord. I ask you, Father God, to have mercy on them and save them, O God. O Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Brother David, thank you so much for letting me testify tonight, brother.